Because we love Jehovah, we want to do what is right. But doing so is not easy at times. What can strengthen our resolve not to give up in our efforts? Please listen carefully to our circuit overseer, Brother Emil Krishna, as he presents the opening talk of this assembly, Why is it difficult to do what is fine?
Throughout history, popular opinion has often dictated standards of right and wrong. Now, for example, the Encyclopedia Britannica states that from the time of the Greek philosopher Socrates right through to the 20th century, there have been repeated debates over just what goodness and the standard of right and wrong should be. For example, there were a group of Greek philosophers in the 5th century BCE, and they taught that standards of right and wrong should be determined by popular opinion. And I quote, they said, whatever things seem just and fine to each city, or just and fine for that city, so long as it thinks them so. So basically, whatever fits for a household or a city, that's the standard they should follow if they think that that's what's right for them. Contrasting opinion is what Immanuel Kant, a renowned 18th century philosopher, said. He said that we should focus on the individual's right to choose for himself what is right and wrong. Well, times haven't changed. Eh? Today, people are like that. People just say, whatever, do whatever you think is right, or whatever you feel is right, or just follow the crowd. Whatever everybody else is doing, you should do. And so as a result, society today has become very permissive. And it's all in the name of tolerance. They say, well, everyone should have the freedom of choice. But we recognize when it comes to tolerance, it's true we need to respect people's personal opinions and views. But when it comes to standards of good and bad, we recognize that tolerance does have limits. Society recognizes that, right? That there's got to be some limits in order to establish law and order. And most people recognize that governments have that right to set particular standards that are expected of their citizens. For example, when it comes to building codes, we appreciate that because then when we purchase a home, we know that to some degree it's going to be safe. Or food regulations. Can you imagine if there weren't food regulations? A lot of us would get food poisoning. Other areas government sets, traffic laws. Can you imagine what the streets of Edmonton would be like if people could just choose whichever side of the road they wanted to drive on? I mean, it's chaotic as it is. But can you imagine if there wasn't a set of standards as to traffic laws? Manufacturing protects us by having particular standards in place. So few people will argue that there needs to be some sort of standardization, some sort of regulations, and often they appreciate that they are there for our benefit. Governments are in place to set those. As true Christians, we recognize, though, that standards should not be left to humans to decide or what's popular opinion. But standards should be set by our Creator, Jehovah God. He has the right. We as true Christians recognize that. Because we recognize that Jehovah is our sovereign Lord. He's our Creator. He's our lawgiver. He's our judge. And we recognize that Jehovah's standards are always beneficial. They're never unreasonable and never beyond our ability to be able to observe. But granted, at times it's not easy. Notice how the Apostle Paul expressed this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, showing that at times it may not be easy to follow Jehovah's standards. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, so I invite you to turn there. So let us not give up in doing what is fine. That sounds familiar. That's our assembly theme. So let us not give up in doing what is fine, for in due time we will reap if we do not tire out. So the scripture here is encouraging us to do what is fine, but did you notice, as long as we don't tire out, like we need to, there's that constant danger that we may tire out in doing what is fine, observing Jehovah's standards. So it shows that endurance is needed. And particularly because we face three powerful enemies. And these pressures that come upon us can make it difficult at times to do what is fine. Let's consider these three powerful enemies that we're on to constant alert. The first one's described in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. So I invite you to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Keep your senses, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone. So what powerful enemy do we have? Well, you notice our adversary, Satan, the devil. You notice in the scripture, he's seeking to devour those that do what is right. And like a lion, he's an opportunist. He's very crafty. He's a master at convincing people to adopt standards that go contrary to Jehovah's standards. He did that with Eve, right? He seduced Eve into thinking that doing what Jehovah says is too restrictive, that she's missing out on something good. Remember, he said, is it really so that you cannot eat from every tree in the garden? I mean, there's nothing to eat here for you? So he made it appear like it was restrictive and that it would be more of benefit for Eve to go contrary to Jehovah's laws. Well, it's no different today. He continues to blind people into thinking that they are better off not following God's standards. And so we're surrounded by that all the time. You notice it mentions that Satan is like a roaring lion. Now, a lion often, when it hunts, it usually stalks its prey. But at times, particularly with domestic animals, what they do, he roars, especially in the middle of the night. And domestic animals, say like sheep within a pen, an enclosure, will panic, and then they break the enclosure. And that's when the lion attacks. So Satan will use pressure. He'll use persecution to try to intimidate us so that we jump the confines of the Christian congregation or the confines of Jehovah's standards, and that's when Satan devours us. When we feel pressured at times from Satan, think about the first century Christians. They were ordered to stop preaching in the name of Christ, but they were resolute in saying that we must obey God as ruler rather than men. So that's one enemy that we have to contend with, is Satan the devil. But there's a second enemy. Notice how it's described in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And stop being molded by this system of things, but be transformed by making your mind over, so that you may prove to yourself the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you notice from this verse a second enemy? You notice this system of things. This wicked world is constantly putting pressure on us. It wants to shape or mold our thinking so that we reject Jehovah's standards, so we feel that it's restrictive or too difficult to observe. The Apostle Paul refers to this world as the spirit of this world, like air. In fact, poisonous air, like carbon monoxide. It's always the constant danger around us. And easily, because it's colorless, odorless, it can infect somebody. They could start to go to sleep, so to speak, spirit. And that can happen with us spiritually. We could start to give in to the pressures of this wicked world. Satan often uses the entertainment, the media, advertising to weaken our resolve to do what's right. They often downplay Jehovah's standards or say that they are old-fashioned and no longer required today. and easily it can affect our minds and heart. If we feel the pressures of this system of things is weighing heavily on us and hindering us from doing what is right, think about Enoch of the past. He lived in a world where he was surrounded by ungodly people and ungodly practices. But he continued to walk with the true God. And we can do the same. Third enemy, Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. This enemy comes from within. In chapter 7 of Romans, verse 21, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, writing, I find then this law in my case. When I wish to do what is right, what is bad is present with me. I really delight in the law of God according to the man I am within, but I see in my body another law warring against the law of my mind and leading me captive to sin's law that is in my body. So what's the third enemy? Well, we get a clue in the verse 23. You notice sin's law. See, the Apostle Paul desired to do what was right, but constantly from within, he was faced with imperfections that fight against us. There's a tendency towards selfishness, towards bad, what is bad. And so we have to constantly resist that. Things that appeal to our senses, to the flesh, to the eyes. What did Paul do? Well, he said at times he had to get tough, pummel his body, in order not to become enslaved to fleshly desires. So that's why it can be difficult to do what is right, because we face three powerful enemies: Satan, this wicked world, as well as our imperfect flesh. But what's reassuring is that on our own strength, we could never survive the fight. But with Jehovah's help, we can. Notice how Paul continues in verse 24. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from the body undergoing this death? Thanks to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to God's law, but with my flesh, to sin's law. See, Paul had complete confidence that he could win the battle with the help of Jehovah and Jesus Christ. So by fervent prayer to Jehovah, he can give us the strength to not give up. Well, in addition to that, we have this assembly program. And what a beautiful program is in store for each and every one of us. It's designed to help us identify what is acceptable to Jehovah God from his standpoint, and then to strengthen our resolve to keep following Bible principles. So if you have your program, let's take a look at what's in store for us. If you take out your programs, notice on the back page, we have five questions that will be answered throughout the day's program. You notice that we'll be focusing a lot on Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. Notice, for example, in question 2, what is sowing with a view to the flesh, and how can we avoid it? Well, that'll be answered in a four-part symposium involving social media, entertainment, fighting the spirit of envy, as well as where we can invest in a secure future. The third question, to whom should we work what is good? Well, that'll be answered in the talk, keep working good toward all. The fourth question, how can we sow with a view to the Spirit? Well, that'll be answered in the symposium in the afternoon, starting at 2:40. You notice good study habits, letting Bible principles guide us, and not letting our hand rest, particularly when it comes to the ministry. And then the final question, 5, what will we reap if we do not tire out? Well, that'll be answered in the last talk, which you'll certainly enjoy. So what a beautiful program Jehovah has provided that will help us not give up in doing what is fine. So notice the first question is, why is it difficult to do what is fine? So we have a number of scriptures there, 1 Peter 5 and 8, Romans 12 and 2, Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. So the answer, we have three powerful enemies: Satan, the world, and our imperfect flesh, all of which can be conquered if we fully rely on Jehovah's strength. And Jehovah, fortunately, will soon eliminate all badness. And when Satan and the demons are gone, and when we reach perfection, then nothing will stop us from continuing to do what is fine.
Fights against us.